It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, April 5th, 2024. Well, I thought we'd start with our marine weather forecast and see what we have time for in terms of ship traffic. And then I wanted to take a few minutes to update you on the situation in Baltimore Harbor, because I know that's been on everyone's minds since that happened. Oh, on March 26th. And so where are they at with the attempts to handle the situation in the port of Baltimore? And about a very big ship that is the size of the Dolly that is currently on the Columbia River and will be going out downriver on Saturday morning. So you'll get a chance to see her. In our marine weather forecast, we have northwesterly gusty winds happening and higher seas through today. A low-pressure system will approach our waters late today and move through our area on Saturday with little impact on our weather. Small craft advisory in effect through this evening. Northwest winds 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15, rising to 10 to 15, gusting to 20 in the afternoon. Wind waves from the northwest 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart. Northwest swells 9 feet at 10 seconds. And let's take a look at some of our inbound ships today. We have the Greba Manx arriving from South Korea, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She's picking up wheat upriver. Arrived in the Astoria anchorage around 2:30 a.m. The Fuxing Hai is arriving from Honolulu, Hawaii, headed for Kalama's anchorage. She'll be picking up wheat upriver eventually. She will pass Astoria around 6 a.m. and be in Kalama by about 11 a.m. The Maritime Prosperity arrives from Japan, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll be picking up wheat upriver. She will be in Astoria's anchorage by about 2:30 p.m. And the Arcadia is arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for the Astoria anchorage. She'll be picking up corn, soy, or wheat at Kalama eventually. She'll be in Astoria's anchorage by about 8:30 p.m. And the Kuma is arriving from South Korea, headed to Astoria's anchorage. She's also going to be going to Kalama to pick up corn, soy, or wheat. She will be in Astoria's anchorage by about 11:30 p.m. And the Green Cove is arriving from Japan, headed for Vancouver. She's got brand new Subarus on board, delivering those to the port of Vancouver, passing Astoria around 11:30 p.m. and in Vancouver by 5:30 a.m. on Saturday. So I thought it would be good today to do an update on the status of things in the port of Baltimore, where most people probably know that a big container ship, the size of ships that come here, had a catastrophic power failure on March 26th that caused it to hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge across Baltimore Harbor, which caused that bridge to collapse. So they have a huge situation there to handle in the aftermath of this tragedy, before they can think of opening that harbor to ship traffic again. So here's a brief summary of where things were as of yesterday there in Baltimore Harbor. Salvage crews had managed to open 2 shallow draft vessel channels around the wreck site, one 11 feet deep and the other 14 feet deep. Now, this is not ideal, but it's the depth that they could manage under the circumstances. It does allow some tug and barge traffic and other small vessel traffic to move through and around the bridge area. It allows salvage vessels to have more mobility and some other traffic to move on the river. Now, concurrent with this, crews continue to conduct recovery operations to reach any vehicles that may still be on the bottom of the river. Efforts continue to get the collapsed bridge sections off the ship, the Dolly, which remains aground just off the channel with the bridge on top of its bow. Experts say that clearing the channel for ship traffic is a ways off, because even after they are able to get the ship out of there, huge sections of the bridge and its roadway are on the bottom of the channel. The water is deep, there are strong currents there, and visibility is poor for divers. So experts have stressed that what we can see above the water there is a fraction of what is below the surface, and it will need to be removed to restore the ship channel to its necessary depth, which is 50 feet. There's apparently a massive tangle of wreckage below the surface all along the bridge's route. Now, this kind of work needs to proceed slowly and carefully, because every time they move a piece of the wreckage, they need to stop and assess the effect it's having on the surrounding wreckage to see if it shifts dangerously, and also effects on structures, including the Dolly. They need to get the Dolly out of there as much in one piece as possible, and ideally they will be able to use the ship's own engines to get her to a dock at some point, but it may require dredging around the ship itself to free it from the bottom. The ship's hull has been compromised and is taking on water in the bow, but not enough to pose a risk to the ship's ability to operate. The crew remains on board, from what I understand, partly because they need to keep the ship in operating order so that it can be used during the salvage process to remove it. Now, one fortunate thing in all of this is that because this happened in an active commercial harbor, there are many resources in the private sector available to help the agencies that are working to clear the wreckage: metal recyclers, private salvage companies, other services that will be needed. So the people who are working to make this happen have a lot of local assistance as they move forward. An interesting point about the dolly: her maximum depth fully loaded is about 50 feet, and she's not currently fully loaded now with containers, so her actual draft was probably less than that. In any case, the bottom of her hull was probably just a few feet from the bottom, which is typical of ships transiting here as well under the best of circumstances. So as I've said many times before, it would be impossible there and also here for a big ship to sink out of sight in the river. They're just too big to disappear. One thing I wanted to point out that some folks noticed yesterday on the river: we had a very big container ship come into Portland, and she will exit the river on Saturday morning. She's the MSC Flavia. She's a sister ship to the MSC Katy, which, when she arrived here in the river last spring around this time, was considered the biggest container ship ever to arrive in the river here. So let's compare her to the Dolly, which crashed in Baltimore Harbor. The Dolly's gross tonnage is 95,128 tons, and that term gross tonnage is a measure of the internal volume of a ship, and it's a common metric for ship size in the industry. She's 984 feet long, 158 feet wide, and fully loaded draws almost 50 feet of water, as I said. Her container capacity is 9,971 TEUs, which means 20-foot equivalent units. Now, the MSC Flavia, the ship that will come downriver on Saturday and head out to sea, her gross tonnage is larger, 140,096 tons, so bigger than the Dolly in that respect. She's also longer, at 1,200 feet long, and is a little narrower at 151 feet. And she can carry 14,100 TEU. So you could make the case that the MSC Flavia is larger than the Dolly. And here she is, transiting our waters safely. She came into Portland safely yesterday, and I have no doubt that she'll exit without issues as well on Saturday. So she's comparable in size to the Dolly for all practical purposes for us here, maybe even a little bigger. And so if you want to see her go by, just to get a bit of reference, she's leaving Portland on Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Look for her passing Astoria around noontime. And you can track her location on the river if you want to see her go by looking her up on Marine Traffic or VesselFinder.com. It'll give you a little more perspective about the fact that ship traffic travels here and in many ports around the world all the time, and we really never hear about it, because accidents like the one that happened in Baltimore are very rare.